Beautiful, the Carol King musical opened on Broadway on January 12, 2014, 5 years ago, and it's still playing. But if you want to see it, you better hurry because it closes in 2 weeks. After having 2,418 performances, its last show will be October 27th. So I know some of you may want to hop on JetBlue and go see it. I hope you can. One of the great things about this musical is that audiences discover that there are many songs they loved growing up, listening to, but didn't know Carol King had anything to do with them. They didn't even know who Carol King was. She was creating popular music as a writer long before she became well-known as a performer, long before that famous album Tapestry that came out in 1971 that every girl I knew had a copy of.
And some of us guys.
And some of us guys. We'll talk, Danny.
All right.
Many of Carol's songs have a common theme. Listen to some of these lyrics. Here are the first words: "To you make me feel like a natural woman. Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired." Another song: "I'll never let you see the way my broken heart is hurting me. I've got my pride and I know how to hide all my sorrow and pain. I'll do my crying in the rain." Another: "So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and there you stood. Holding you again could only do me good. How I wish I could, but you're so far away." Another: I wondered what had happened. Afraid to call your home. So I spent the night in the local bar, but I had to drink alone. I must have gotten in a fight because I woke up bleeding with pain. I had the midnight sun with you. Now I'm standing in the rain, standing in the rain." One more: "If anyone asks you how I am, just say I'm doing fine. If you will do that for me, I'll do the same for you sometime. And if anyone asks you where I've gone, just say I'm down the line. I don't want my friends to see me like this, maybe some other time. Too much rain fallen, too much rain fallen. There's just been too much rain down on me." So much of Carol's music is about rain and pain, especially pain involving relationships. Broken relationships. I think it's one reason so many of us were drawn to her music. We could identify with her, especially as teenagers or as young adults going through the trials and tribulations of relationships. Another reason Carol's songs were so powerful is because she composed her music from an authentic place. Her life has not been easy. Especially regarding relationships, she's been married 4 times. Her third husband was physically abusive and died of a cocaine overdose. That's just some of the rain and pain Carol has experienced. And I have a hunch that one of the main reasons she has been able to survive and thrive in life through all of these difficult experiences is because of her ability to express her feelings, to express her thoughts, to express her pain and sadness through through music. How do you express your grief? How do you express your sadness, your frustrations and anger? What do you do when you're having a really bad day or a really bad week? Some people express their thoughts and feelings through writing, through journaling. Some people go to therapy, where they're able to unload and share their feelings. Carole King teaches us that music is another good way to express our feelings. There is a lot of music in the Bible. The songs in the Bible are called Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. And some of the Psalms are rain and pain songs. These rain and pain songs are called laments, L-A-M-E-N-T-S. Laments are passionate expressions of grief or sorrow. And we read two of the laments in the book of Psalms today, Psalm 4 and Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? This is someone who's pretty desperate. Psalm 22 is another lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the first verse of Psalm 22. And it, of course, is what Jesus was quoting when he was dying on the cross. It's part of a lament, a song he would have learned and said many times growing up in the Jewish faith. Even though I grew up in church, knew a lot about the Bible, I didn't know about these laments until I went to seminary. I was surprised by them, shocked, really. I didn't know that it was okay to address God in this manner. It didn't seem appropriate. But the psalmist, you see, were wise enough to know that human beings need to express their grief, even and especially in the midst of the worshiping community with other folks. In her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor says, "What if I could learn to trust my feelings instead of asking to be delivered from them? The Psalms of Lament allow us to look sadness squarely in the eyes. The laments tell us that we can trust our feelings and we can face tough times and that God will be there for us in the pain and in the struggle of it all. You see, something interesting happens, very interesting happens at the end of these Psalms of Lament. At the very end of these rain and pain songs, the attitude of the singer changes. The person who at the beginning was so upset, who was so angry, so sad, so frustrated, is now feeling better. Now has faith and trust in God. What happened? Why the change? It's as if the honest expressions helped transform the person's feelings and attitude. One of my favorite phrases, and you'll hear me say it time and time again, is the atheist may complain, but the believer can protest. The atheist may complain, but the believer can protest. The believer can't be angry and cry out, why? Why? Because he or she believes there is someone or something to cry out to be angry with, believes there is a higher power. So these honest expressions of our feelings are nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, you know what they are? They're affirmations of faith. It's no wonder the psalmist is feeling better by the end. We see this kind of transformation with Carole King's song, Up on the Roof. We're so used to hearing how the Drifter sang the song with its upbeat, happy-go-lucky tune and with the Drifters moving and swaying in the background. But when Carole King wrote the song and when she later recorded the song herself, she slowed it down. She took it much slower, and her version sounds like a lament. When it's slow, it's one of the saddest songs you'll ever hear. When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. When you hear it slow, it's so sad. You almost wonder if the person is going up to the roof in order to jump off. But no, the person isn't going there to jump. The person is going there to find an oasis. It's a place where the person is at peace, finds peace. It's what the Celtic Christians called a thin place. A thin place is a place where it seems like heaven and earth intersect. What thin places do you have? All of us need thin places where we experience the holy, the sacred, in a special way. A higher power in a special way. I hope this church is a thin place for you. For many of us, the beach is a thin place as we look out onto an endless ocean and God seems so big and yet so close. That's a thin place. The mountains are a thin place for so many people. It can just be awesome, an awesome feeling as you feel held in God's hand. But a thin place doesn't have to be outside your home or outside your apartment. A thin place can be a song. A thin place can be a poem. It can be a painting, a work of art. It's wherever you feel especially connected to God, the holy, the sacred, whatever helps you feel at peace and connected to something bigger than yourself. Find thin places. So when you're down, when you're depressed, having a bad day, express your feelings to God. Be honest and authentic. Use the Psalms. Pray the Psalms of lament to help you connect with those feelings. If it's hard for you to express them, let the Psalms work for you. Which, remember, those expressions are really affirmations of faith. Also, go to your thin places, those places that help you feel connected to God in a special way. One other thing I encourage you to do during these tough times, and all the time really, is to remember your wow moments. Wow moments are moments of synchronicity. When two or more circumstances come together in a coincidental and meaningful way, wow moments often inspire us to think more deeply about life and about our faith. We realize that we're not alone, that even though life is filled with hardships and tragedies and struggles, God has not abandoned us. God does love and care for us. We sense that when we have these wow moments. So remember your wow moments, write them down, record what happened so that when you feel down, when you're having a bad day, a bad week, you can go back and read what happened. So you can remember that you felt God in your life in a powerful, caring way. It will help your faith. It will help you to move on and be transformed. A little wow moment happened a couple of weeks ago when Ray and I were trying to prepare for this service. Ray's our minister of music for those who are visiting with us. God on Broadway can be so challenging because we don't have much time to rehearse when you're doing so many shows. It's not like when you're doing one show and you have 5 to 6 weeks of rehearsal to work on them. So when we have solos or special roles or special duets or ensembles, hopefully you have people who have either done the role before or at least is very familiar with it or with the song. 2 weeks ago, Ray and I were trying to look at the music for this service. We were in the church office, and I was playing for him the song on YouTube on the computer, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling," sung by the Righteous Brothers. And I was saying that we needed a unique voice that gives that low sound, someone who can learn the song quickly. And as we were listening to the song on the computer, we hear this coming from the hallway. "You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips, and there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips." So I looked in the hall, and it was our Tim Steinhauser with a hammer in one hand and a board in another. Tim and Patty Steinhauser came to the church a couple of years ago and started helping Linda Combs with the sets for God on Broadway. Tim is a wonderful craftsman. He has worked with Habitat for Humanity and has been a big part of our Handy Hands ministry. In fact, I think he and Susan recruited our Handy Hands ministry folks to help with the sets for God on Broadway this year. Well, Patty, Tim's wife, not only helped with the sets, she also helped out with Vacation Bible School. So they've been a great help doing this manual behind-the-scenes work. And this year, Linda had knee surgery, so even more work was thrown at the Steinhausers with the God on Broadway sets, and people like Jason and Zimmer and others have really helped him a lot. But anyway, so Patty and Tim were over at the church working, 2 weeks ago, and we hear Tim throwing around these low notes, sounding like Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers. And Ray and I said, "Tim, come in here." We took him to the choir room so Ray could go over the song with him. And I went outside where Patty was working, and I said, "We have Tim. We're giving him an audition right now." And then I go back to Tim and say, have you ever heard of another song called Up on the Roof?" And this is what Tim does. "When this old world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space." He knew all the words. He not only could sing it, he had it memorized. Come to find out, this was an era of music that Tim loved. And so in a matter of 5 minutes, we solved finding the soloist for two songs by turning to the guy working on the sets. That's a wow moment. Here's another one. I have a close friend who recently told me about an experience he had a couple of years ago. He was kind of like me. He liked to stay up late, and he didn't have to work the next day, and he noticed a movie was coming on at 1 o'clock in the morning that he loved. So since he didn't have to work, he was going to stay up and watch it. But kind of like me, he fell asleep on the sofa while he was watching it. He woke up at 3 o'clock, he said, and he turned off the television and started walking from the living room to the back of the house to his bedroom when his cell phone started ringing. He picked it up, and it was his daughter. And he knew something was wrong, and he said, "Honey, where are you?" And you know what she said? "I'm up on a roof." She was to graduate the next week. But for the last, she shared with her dad that for 2 or 3 weeks she had been depressed, could not get out of bed. She said she got out of bed for supper, would go to the cafeteria for supper, and then get back in bed for 3 weeks, so didn't go to her classes, and she wasn't going to graduate. And now she was up on the roof. Fortunately, they talked. My friend and his wife drove that night to the college and were there when she woke up. And she's doing so much better now. But this guy said, "Billy, you know, I know you believe in wow moments. I know you wrote a book about it. And I know I've got a lot of wow moments, but this is the biggest wow moment I've ever had in my life, and I can't share it with anybody because I don't want to put my daughter on the spot. But let me tell you, people got to know that there are wow moments, because if I had gone to bed, if I had been in bed and been away from my cell phone, what would have happened?" He said, "Billy, people need to know that yes, there are tragedies. Yes, life is tough. Yes, there's free will, and we make bad choices. Bad things happen. But God is really there for us. And so I encourage you all to be sensitive to your wow moments, to express your feelings to God, and to develop your thin places. One way to do that is with the Psalms. And you know, there are a lot of modern Psalms now, a lot of songs now that can help us, that you can really relate to. One of my favorite is in the United Methodist Supplement. It's a song called "You Are My Hiding Place," and it's in your... on the insert there. And I'd love for us to sing it together. It's the first two measures. It's a little weird because the first two measures sound just like the Phantom of the Opera song. "You are my hiding place." Yeah. Yeah, it's just like that. I love it. I don't know who, Andrew Lloyd Webber or this author, who came up with that first. But anyway... why don't we sing it with the piano, then we'll sing it two more times. But let's sing it together. It's slow. And just see how this can be ministered to you. Take these home. Okay.